May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 101. Does conscience lay a guilty charge, and Moses much condemn, and bring in bills exceeding large? Let Jesus answer them. Hymn 101.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is from the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 12th and 13th chapters. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapters 12 and 13. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you, as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you, Lord, is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, we need thee now to breathe into our heart a breath of real prayer. Lord, do keep us from praying like the Pharisee did, thus with ourselves. Lord, may we know that true indicting of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, as we venture once more to the throne of thy grace. We would come pleading the precious name, precious blood and glorious merits of the Lord Jesus. And that name that the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, we do seek, dear Lord, for a heart to seek thee and a heart to serve thee, a heart to truly worship thee. Deliver us from our old nature and everything of the flesh. Thou hast said to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, we pray that we may be found amongst those that are quickened by thy Spirit, and live a life of prayer and faith. Oh Lord, as we gather this evening, we do seek for thy sweet presence to be sweetly known and felt both in our hearts and within these walls, that we may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And O Lord, may we be favoured with a glimpse by living faith of Jesus only this night. May all distracting thoughts and cares be removed from us. The many things that have occupied our minds in the daytime, Lord, may they be removed and we be wholly taken up by thee. Would pray, Lord, for faith to believe. Now it's the unbelief that plagues us, and we need that living faith to be given. Thou hast said, without faith it is impossible to please God. Oh, we do seek, dear Lord, that thou wilt speak to our souls, that we may hear thy voice. Thy word may be applied to us with divine power. It may be food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. We pray for each seeking, longing soul that thou wilt come, Lord, and sweetly assure them that they shall not seek thy face in vain. Thou hast promised to satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. O Lord, remember those that are weighed down and plagued by sin. Lord, we pray for grace to be given, Lord, that we might from our inmost soul confess our sins before thee. For thou hast said, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we pray to be found as penitent sinners, Lord, at thy feet, begging for that God-given repentance to be given to us, that we might truly repent as Job did, and he said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, that thou wouldst come, Lord, and sweetly assure us that thou didst suffer, bleed, and die to redeem us. May we be amongst thy dear redeemed children. And oh, do pardon all our sin and our iniquities, and blot out our transgressions. We pray, dear Lord, for that blessed seal of pardon to be granted to our hearts and the sweet peace that flows from it, that sweet peace of Calvary. And as we sing, dear Lord, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. Oh, do favour each seeking, longing soul, Lord, with that blessed favour, to know their pardon signed and their peace procured. O Lord, to come and deliver those that Satan attacks continually and harasses in one way or another. Deliver, Lord, we pray, from the onslaughts of the enemy. And do come, dear Lord, and set at liberty all those that are bound by Satan and by sin and by unbelief, and set their souls free. For thou hast said, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. Oh, may we know more and more, Lord, of that sweet liberty, that sweet freedom in our souls and in the souls of thy people, Lord. May there be those in these dark days set free from all bondage, and crown thee Lord of all. Lord, do remember the dear children that gather on thy day, and the dear babes and the little ones. Preserve and keep them, Lord. We fear what they may be spared to see. And oh, we do beg that thou wilt work in them thy grace and fear while in early days. And may they be kept from this world and all its snares and attractions, and blessed with the riches of thy grace. Hear the prayers of dear parents for them. Bless the Sabbath school and those that gather in it, and help the dear teachers as they seek to set thy word before the young. Remember the dear young people, Lord, who watch over them, preserve them, keep them. May they follow on to know the Lord and ask for the old paths and cleave to the narrow way. May there be those raised up to be useful, Lord, in Zion, in their day and generation. For thou hast promised that instead of the fathers shall come up the children. And oh, that there may be, and we bless thee for this here, those that are followers of thy people, and Lord, that there may be throughout Zion many born again. And oh, we pray thou would help those in relationships, that thou would bless them together. And may it please thee to smile upon them. And those seeking God-fearing partners in life, Lord, husbands, wives, we pray thou would provide. And do remember, dear Lord, those in affliction, We pray for healing and restoring if it's thy will. And oh, that thou wouldst sanctify these afflictions, that there may be a good brought forth from them all. And do comfort our dear bereaved friends, those here and those throughout Zion. Lord, we pray thou wilt make up the breach. And thou wilt sanctify these losses. And that thou wilt prepare us each for that great change that awaits us all. And oh, that we might be ready. That we may be like the wise virgins, waiting for thy coming. And have our lamps filled and trimmed. Dear Lord, do remember those that may need thee in some special way, and those who've got impossible things. Oh, we beg that thou wilt come and grant that faith to believe. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And oh Lord, we pray thou would increase the church here with precious souls. May there be those, Lord, filled with thy love, constrained by thee to run in thy ways. Oh, may there be those brought where the apostle was to say, for the love of Christ constraineth me. And may there be, Lord, a moving of the waters, and in our own flock at home too, and throughout Zion. For we do rejoice when Zion's offspring come, as sheep are gathered to the fold and left no more to roam. May there be real travail in the churches, Lord. For thou hast said, when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And oh, may thy dear servants be graciously encouraged in their labours, and bless the ministry of thy servants as they labour here. And may the word go forth with power. And may there be a quickening of many around this chapel into life. And there may be those brought to flee the wrath to come. And oh, do remember the deacons, Lord, and help them and bless them and guide them in all the burdens and responsibilities of thy house. And do grant, we pray, thy blessing upon the hymns they give out, that they may prove they are thy choice. Remember, Lord, this guilty nation. Lord, what can we say? Iniquity runs down our streets. The love of many waxes cold. There are but few that endure to the end. We beg thou wilt raise up men of grace and heavenly wisdom, especially, Lord, in this election year, to rule our nation. And oh, may it please thee that there may be a real turning to the Lord from our Queen downwards. And may she and her husband and royal house be blessed with thy grace and fear, and set a right example in the land. Look upon all those, Lord, that are so persecuted in these evil days. We beg of thee to hear the cries that they put up, and many throughout the earth for them, Lord. And thou wilt yet make bare thine arm and put down all these evil and violent. And may there be yet seen the wonders God alone can do. We would praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy great mercies in providence and in grace, and we would seek for a heart to crown thee laudable. And oh, do grant to us those hearts of real thanksgiving and real gratitude and real praise, for thou art worthy of all honour, all glory and all praise. Remember those unable to gather, Lord, those that hearts are with us. Do bless them where they are in their homes, any that have no desire to come. Oh, we pray that thou wilt work in them and put a real longing, as thou didst, dear David, where his heart panted for his God and for thy house. Do hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place. And oh, do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. May we be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And Lord, do give us that needed grace and strength and help for this hour. For without thee, we can do nothing. And suit thy word to every sinner's case. We ask these poor breathing, seeking the pardon of all our sins. In the name of the dear Redeemer. Amen.
Hymn number 391. Jesus, friend of sinners, hear a feeble creature pray. From my debt of sin set clear, for I have naught to pay. Speak, O speak, my kind release, a poor backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Hymn 391.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's second epistle of the Corinthians, chapter 12, and the first part of verse 9. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, and the first part of verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, and the first part of verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The dear Apostle Paul had been lifted right out of this earth and saw things lawful to be uttered. And the Lord had wonderfully favoured him. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord lifts us above the things of this earth, isn't it? Favours us in our souls, and like he did the apostle. Well, do we crave for it? But the Lord, you see, was to balance the cloud in the apostles' experience. It was that wonderful time of being lifted right up above all the things of time. But then, what does the Lord do? We read, Then there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. See, we not only need lifting up, don't we? But we need keeping down. And the Lord knew exactly what to give the apostle to balance this cloud and to bring him right down to be dependent upon the Lord God of Israel. It seemed to so rest upon me today what he said, There was given to me this thorn that was to be laid upon him. Didn't come by chance. It was given to him. And who gave it? The Lord himself. He says, There was given to me. It was personal, you see. And the Lord has those thorns that he gives to his dear people to keep them humble, to keep them tender, to keep them looking unto him, to keep them dependent upon him. Now this thorn, like if we look at it naturally, a thorn all the time that's inserted in any part of our flesh, it causes discomfort, doesn't it? Pain, and often distresses us. Now the Lord has those thorns he gives to his dear people. And it may be why the Lord has given me this word. There's one here tonight that has got a thorn that continually, I was going to say, aggravates. But what did the apostle do when he received this thorn? He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He asked the Lord to take it away three times. But you see, it was very necessary, this thorn that the Lord had laid upon him. And you know, whenever I read this word, I go back to, and some of you are here at the occasion, one week night when I was engaged to preach here, this was many years ago now, and I got here and I felt so unwell and hardly got any voice at all to speak. And I said to Mr. Ayres, I said, "Well, I just cannot preach. It was such an effort to even begin to utter a word just to him." And in the congregation was dear Mr. Howard Crowther. And I said to Mr. Ayres, "Perhaps you could ask Mr. Crowther to preach." And he ventured to. Mr. Crowther said, "Well, I've got no text." He said, "I came as a hearer." But he said, "If the Lord give me a word, I will try." And the Lord immediately spoke this word of our text into his heart. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And I sat in the pew and listened. And he spoke about these thorns that the Lord lays on his people. It may be an affliction. It may be some cross you've got in your family. It may be in your soul, Satan continually attacking you with all the gunshots of hell. It may be a circumstance that you're in. And he listed several things. And what I want to come to is this, of what the dear man said, and I've never forgot it. It was so sweet to me at the time. He said, "You consider Paul with this thorn in the flesh." He said, he asked the Lord to take it away, but the Lord didn't. And what dear Mr. Crowther said was this. He said, he was better with it than without it. And you know, it went right into my heart. I thought, with all the problems at that time I had with my voice, he said, "You're better with it than without it." And he went on to say this, he said, "Because it makes you dependent upon the Lord." And you think, in what you may have some thorn today, and you may be asking the Lord to take it away. But it may be you're better with it than without it. You know, I've never forgot that. It was so real to me at the time. And you think of that tonight, you're better with it than without it. And the apostle was. You see, the Lord didn't take it away, did he? But what did he give him to sustain him and to help him through it all? Well, this wonderful word of our text. And he said unto me, it's been with me like this. The dear apostle needed this word from heaven, and he couldn't go on without it. Now is the one here tonight, and I say this lovingly, you need this. Because if this is of God that we have ventured with this before you tonight, it's a word you're going to need. The apostle wasn't just to need it that day when the Lord spoke it to him. He was going to need it for all the days to come. And what is so wonderful about this is when the Lord speaks such a word as this and other sacred promises to his dear people, they have to prove them, that promise, and they have to prove their God, and so did the apostle. What the Lord speaks here and what he speaks in promises to his dear children, those promises will never fail. Oh no. It's a beautiful word we read in Isaiah, isn't it? My word shall not return unto me void. And it won't. It didn't return void with the apostle, did it? My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And you look at the apostle, how the Lord sent it right home into his soul, in this particular matter that he was in. And you think of what you may be in tonight. He says, my grace, the Lord speaking, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, there's nothing lacking in the grace that the Lord gives to his dear people. There's a lot that we lack. We lack grace so often. But that grace that he gives is absolutely sufficient for the child of God. The apostle said, didn't he, on another occasion, who is sufficient for these things? And it may be you are saying that tonight. But he goes on to say and gives the answer to that. But our sufficiency is of God. You know, there's a blessed sufficiency in the dear Redeemer. And it's a sufficiency that will never run dry. So when the Lord said to the apostle, my grace is sufficient for thee, this promise was comprehensive. It would cover him in all what he was in. And that sufficiency he could draw from, all sufficient grace, from the dear Redeemer. We sing in the hymn, don't we? All sufficient is our Saviour. Let us look a little at this grace that you're going to need. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. The apostle needed much grace, didn't he, to bear this thorn. And the thorn that you may have, you're going to need much grace to bear it. You can't bear it in and of yourself or endure it in and of yourself. But under God's grace, you will be enabled to. You see, the grace of God carried the apostle along with this thorn. There's another word that's been with me today too, and that is this. When Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, the Lord not only gives the thorns to his dear people, he gives crosses too. And he says, let him take up his cross. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Whatever cross lies at thy door, it cometh from the Lord. You know, it may be a cross to you, or a thorn to you. There are those that it has been where they have a large family of children, and it's a cross to them because there's a continued exercise and burden. There are others that the cross or the thorn may be because they have no children. I use that as a simple illustration. You see, but the circumstances are completely opposite, aren't they? But it's a cross to that one that's in it. And it's a thorn to them. And it's continually there. How could the apostle bear it, and how can you bear that which you may be in? I may not name the exact cross or thorn tonight, but you know what it is, and the Lord does. He did with the apostle. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You see, it was to keep him right down, wasn't it? We need keeping down. We'll soon get lifted up with air, don't we? As the hymn writer said. Where would you be without your thorn? And where would I be? Where would we be without the cross? Let him take up his cross. And we need much grace to do that, don't we? My grace, he says. Look how suited this was to the apostle. My grace, the Lord said, is sufficient for thee. Grace to bear that cross. Grace to bear that thorn. And as he gives you grace, you can bear it. And you can go on. You can venture in the journey. Let him take up his cross. He hadn't got to lay it down, had he? Jesus said that. Let him take up his cross. Now, I don't know why I named those two things, but that's so how it rested upon me as soon as this text came. But then we need grace to be submissive, don't we? To that cross. To that thorn. Wonderful grace is the grace of submission. And I have to pray for it continually. I remember when we first got married, dear Mr. John Farley, he was such a great help to us, the Lord's servant in those early days, and he used to come and have a chat with me now and again, and he said, you know, I need so much grace to be submissive to the Lord's will and to the things that he lays upon me. And he said, it's a grace that I have to pray for continually, the grace of submission. And when I think of the grace of submission, immediately one's heart goes to the dear Redeemer himself. You look how submissive the dear Lord Jesus was to the will of his Father. And it was so seen in the Garden of Gethsemane, wasn't it? What does he say? Father, not my will, but thine be done. And it may be in what you're in today, you need so much grace to be submissive, to be resigned to the Lord's mind and his will. It's a good prayer what the Saviour taught the disciples in, as it is termed so often, the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then when we think of the grace of submission that the Saviour so manifested, oh, look at the grace that shone in him. And grace does shine forth in the Lord's people, you know. I think of some of the old saints that are now in glory. You know, I used to look at them and I used to think grace shines in them. They were shining lights in the earth, you see, grace shone forth. And this is something, exercise soul will long to know more of. But then we need restraining grace, don't we? How often we will go and do this or do that unless the Lord restrains us, keeps us. We need keeping grace, don't we? My grace is sufficient for, and it's only as he gives us grace that we are kept. You know, Peter knew that more and more when he wrote his epistle, when he said those who are kept by the power of God, because he knew what it was when the flesh prevailed and he fell in that hour of temptation, left to himself. He was not under God's grace then, was he? You know, grace will keep us. Oh, it will. And he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. That grace that he gives will keep the sinner from sinning, keep them from grieving the Lord, keep them from wandering in bypath meadow. And it's only because of God's grace. And this grace, you see, won't lift you up with pride. Oh no. It makes the sinner tender and it makes them humble. Wonderful grace is the grace of humility, isn't it? Well, could dear Peter write in his epistle in that fifth chapter, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And oh, the need of grace to be humble. Oh, you look at that dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Look at the grace there was in her. You see, that dear woman was just a poor, needy sinner, despised by Simon the Pharisee. But in her was wonderful grace. And look at the grace of repentance the Lord gave her because of those sins that troubled her. We need much grace, don't we, to confess our sins. We need much grace to repent of our sin. We need much grace to mourn over our sin before the Lord. But oh, you look at that dear woman. The grace of humility. She creeps behind the Saviour. She didn't want to be seen by him. Unworthy she felt to be. She creeps behind him. Washes his feet with her tears of God-given repentance. Look how grace shone in her. And then wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. There wasn't any grace manifested in Simon, was there? But there was in that dear woman. And you look at the blessing the Lord gave her. He said to Simon, her sins are forgiven. And then he turned to the dear woman and blessedly pronounced it to her that all her sin was forgiven. Oh, the need of grace. So he says to the dear apostle, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then we need grace to continue, don't we? It's only by the grace of God we can. Enduring grace, you see. It's one of the great concerns of my heart from my very early days when I trust the Lord began to work in me. Was, Lord, shall I endure to the end? You see, the world will come to the end. You see, many, we hear of this one and that one in high places and people locally being taken and they come to their end. But what a solemn thing if we just come to our end. The apostle didn't, you know. He endured to the end. And you look at things he had to endure through. I read earlier this evening a chapter in this sacred epistle where he lists all the things he'd had to go through. And you look how the Lord endured, gave him that enduring grace to endure them. The persecution, the opposition, the times he was shipwrecked, the times he was put in prison. But you look in the prisons and those when he was brought before the rulers, the grace that he showed. What is the simple meaning of God's grace? Well, the simple meaning of it is this. It's God's free, unmerited favour to sinners. There's nothing you can do to merit it. It's free. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Free grace to every heaven-born soul. And you see, this grace that he gave the apostle was absolutely free. And it flowed down from heaven. But oh, to be among those that are given grace to endure to the end. Does it concern you and exercise you and me tonight that we might have that grace to endure? Without it, we never will. You think of dear Moses and all what he had to endure with the stiff-necked and rebellious children of Israel. And how many times they murmured and how many times they complained and how many times they said they would rather go back into Egypt. How could he lead such a people? Well, the apostle tells us in that blessed catalogue in Hebrews 11, doesn't he? How Moses endured. And it's a beautiful word. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Who was it that was invisible that Moses was enabled by the grace and faith given to him. It was none other than the Lord Jesus. Now the lesson is this, keeping Christ in view, you see. And that's what Moses was enabled to do under God's grace, live in faith in exercise to keep Christ in view. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that enabled him to endure, you know. There's a beautiful couplet in the hymn, isn't there? I love those words because the Lord spoke them to me back in 1973. Always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. Beautiful words they are, you know. And may the Holy Spirit whisper them to your poor heart and mine tonight, to enable you to endure, as dear Moses did, keeping Christ in view, as seeing him who is invisible. The dear Saviour is to the world, isn't he? To the ungodly. And he's invisible to us when we're in a carnal state. And so often we are, aren't we? But oh, when he gives us that grace of living faith to view the dear Redeemer, we can go on then, can't we? Think of what the hymn writer said, and may the Holy Spirit whisper it to you tonight and to me. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. My grace is sufficient for thee. This is so personal, you say, and this is what we need, the personal application of this in our souls. You may have some affliction that you're having to endure, or some trial in the family, or some trial in the business, or some great burden in the church. My grace. And we need grace, don't we, to discern the Lord's mind and his will. It's a solemn thing today. There seems so little real godly gracious discernment. When I think back of some of the old deacons in my early days in the ministry, you know, you knew where you stood with them. Grace shone in them. And they loved a searching, discerning, gracious ministry. Sadly, we see in some of our chapels, even on the Gospel Standard list, the list of ministers they have, you wonder really what discernment there is. Dear Mr. Kirby used to say at Staplers, my grandfather told me, he said, you know, there are those that are like a sink. He said, the clean and the dirty water goes down the same way. The sink can't detect any difference in it. He said, there are a lot of people like that, you know. They swallow anything. But you see, those that are under God's grace cannot. They need heavenly food. What did the Lord say to Moses? Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And you see, the Lord knew what the apostle needed here, didn't he? And it was a word for him, and don't forget it. May it be so to us. It was a word he could live on and he could die on. He needed grace to continue, grace to hold on his way, and he'd need grace, and so were you and I to die. My grace is sufficient for thee. You see, grace will make us dependent upon the Lord, and the heart of the child of God leans upon the beloved Saviour, the more they approve his upholding, his maintaining grace. And we need maintaining grace, don't we? And upholding grace. Oh, we do. Who, the hymn writer said, who can hold us up but thou? My grace is sufficient for thee. You think how the apostle must have felt when the Lord whispered this word in his soul. It was everything he needed, you see. And may it be so with you and with me tonight. Whatever you may have to walk through, or I may have to walk through, may grace abound in us. Sovereign, reigning grace. The apostle said about and sin abounding, and he said, and he spoke of it. But he said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And oh, may it be so in your heart and in mine. We know so much of the aboundings of sin, don't we? But oh, may we know above it all, more and more, the aboundings of God's grace. But I'll leave that first part for your prayerful meditation. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. I've only scratched around the surface in it, but he goes further and he says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There's no doubt with this thorn the apostle had, and we are not told what it was. There have been many that have speculated what it was. We know it was a thorn in the flesh and a messenger of Satan to buffet him. The Holy Spirit hasn't said exactly what it was. And there's a wonderful reason for that. Because there would be immediately those, if it was named, saying, well, I've got that thorn. And they would be lifted up with pride. I've got the same thorn. You can understand how especially the natural man would immediately say, well, I've got the same thorn that the apostle had. And because they got the same thorn, they'd think that was grace. And be lifted up, they would. And so would I, and so would you, if we're honest. But the Lord hid it. So there can be none say, well, I've got the same as the apostle. But you see, that wore the dear apostle right down. Let's be brief. But, oh, it did. And you see, there are those things that really wear us down, aren't they? Over the years, you know, there have been afflictions and trials that we have personally had to walk through. And they've really brought me right down. So I got no strength. Weakness, you see. But here's a word to those that are weak tonight. Whatever the cross may be, whatever the thorn may be with you, there's that weakness in you. You feel the weakness, don't you? And what does the Lord say? My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, when a person's really weak, they need help, don't they? They need those to support them. than to uphold them. And think about it spiritually in the pathway of the child of God. Those that are weak in faith, they need the Lord to strengthen them. Those that are weak in body through affliction, they need strengthening. And the Lord, you know, is pleased to strengthen his dear people. And he was to strengthen the Apostle Paul here. He says, for my strength, it's the Lord's strength, and he gives it to his people. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It's these that are in their weakness that feel the strength when the Lord gives it to them. Oh yes. I've told you before, but I shall never forget the first Lord's Day in 1967. I was suffering from a nervous exhaustion, and the doctors said all I got to do was rest. But before me on that first Lord's Day, there were three services, and there were those that said, well, you shouldn't go, but the Lord had given me a text to take into London. And then I was asked to go to Watford in the evening at short notice. And I preached in London, you know, and at the close of that afternoon service, I felt to be at the ends of the earth. I got no strength, hardly to stand. And the service before me. And I went to near Mrs. Windridge to tea, and I sat there absolutely exhausted. And I said, Lord, I can never preach. And eventually the time came and I went in the vestry in Watford Chapel, and I sat there and the deacons prayed, and I thought, whatever am I going to do? The ends of the earth I felt to be. In my soul, and two, in body and in mind. And the deacons went into the chapel, and I ventured, as they started the singing the first hymn, to venture out into the chapel, hardly knowing how to put one foot in front of the other. And as I put my hand on the pulpit rail to walk up in the pulpit, the Lord spoke these words: arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And you know, I ventured into the pulpit with those words and ventured to preach from it. And as I announced the text, you know, I felt the strength come in me. It was too great for me. You think of the apostle here, this thorn was too great for him. What you may be in may be too great for you. Your exercise, your burdens, your thorns, your crosses. But you know, from that very moment I started to get better as I announced the text. The Lord so breathed it with power. It was a word to strengthen me, you see. The Lord gives words to strengthen his dear people. You read that beautiful word in Isaiah where the Lord speaks, does he? In that 41st chapter. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And then listen, I will, the Lord says. No maybe or perhaps. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And may the Holy Spirit speak that into your poor, weak heart tonight, whatever you may be in. But I must leave it, the time's gone. My grace, he says, and he said unto me, my grace the Lord speaking. Don't forget, this was the Lord's word, and may it be so tonight. And he, the eternal God, said unto me, now look in your poor heart and mind tonight, as he said this to you, and do you desire he would say it to you? Or it may be another precious promise, and he said unto me, and you'll never forget it when he does. My grace, the Lord speaking, his message to the sinner that needs it. My grace is sufficient for thee. It may be in following the Lord, walking in his commands. You say, hey, Lord, how can we do it? You can't yourself, can you? But under God's grace, my grace is sufficient for thee. He'll take you by his grace through the water. He'll bring you up the other side. And he'll give you grace to continue and to endure to the end. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, may the Holy Spirit breathe this word into each of our souls, and he will have all the praise and glory. Amen.
God willing, Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Chapman on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 925. Peace by his cross has Jesus made. The church's everlasting head o'er hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Hymn 925.
Thank you.
do pardon and forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss, who come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.